We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We start this program with music, in this case with the jazz tenor saxophone of John Ellis from New York City. And our program today is dealing with music with a choral conductor, a doctoral student here at the University of Illinois, Alice Fromm. Well, welcome, Alice.
Thank you.
And you are the founding director of Joyful Noise, a rather unusual chorus in New Jersey that you fly back and forth to direct throughout the year, even while you're a student here. Tell us how that got started.
My sister and I started Joyful Noise together. My sister's name is Elizabeth, and she lives in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And she is a person with developmental disabilities. And about 10 years ago, I thought that it would be really nice for her to have the wonderful experience that I have when I have an opportunity to sing in choruses with my friends and my community, and that that might be really rewarding for her and for her friends. She was excited about that, and we started a chorus.
And how old was your sister Elizabeth when you started Joyful Noise?
33.
Okay. And people who are in the choir, ages span from what to what?
From about 17 to close to 70.
And these are males and females?
Yes.
And how did you get the word out that you were going to start this choir?
My sister is part of an organization called Bancroft NeuroHealth. So initially, we just publicized within the adult community of Bancroft that if you love to sing, to come on a particular Thursday evening in the year 2000, and we would see from there what happened.
Now, there are choirs that have auditions, and you have to come with a prepared piece of music, and then there are community choirs. I happen to sing in a community choir where there's no audition. You just sort of show up, and the conductor just does the best she can, in this case a she, with with those of us who are in the room. Which kind is Joyful Noise?
Anyone who would like to sing, who's appropriate for the group, is welcome to come and sing. And so we try and teach them what they can learn, which is often a lot more than we would expect.
Now, you've had some rather notable places where you've performed. Tell us a little bit about where Joyful Noise, this chorus of, 30, 40 people?
30 to 40. Okay. It fluctuates, as most choruses do.
Sure. Tell us where you've performed.
Well, our most recent performance was for the Chorus America Annual Conference in Philadelphia, which was wonderful because it was close by. Chorus America is an international organization with members primarily in the United States, Canada, and the Americas. And so we had an opportunity to give a performance there this past June. We also performed for the American Choral Directors Association Regional Conference in 2008, and that was in Hartford, Connecticut. That was the one time we had an opportunity to travel and stay overnight. And we've performed in Philadelphia and Delaware, New Jersey. We generally stay fairly close to home because traveling is a bit of a project with our crew.
Sure. Now, you sang the national anthem at a sporting event, right?
Yes. They really enjoy singing for the Camden River Sharks. It's a minor league baseball team.
Oh, what fun.
And then we were featured on CN8 cable network when we did that.
Ah, good. We're hoping to be joined by a composer, a internationally known composer, Alice Parker. If we can solve some technical problems, we had her on the phone just 20 minutes ago, but we're having some difficulty now. But when we, if we're successful in solving these problems, we'll be talking with Alice Parker by phone, and we'll be hearing some music. But why don't we put that off just a little bit and learn a little bit more about you? You're in this Doctor of Musical Arts program here at the University of Illinois.
Yes.
And you came here from New Jersey. Were you an undergraduate somewhere else?
I did my undergraduate work at Yale and my master's degree at Boston University. And I was living in Poughkeepsie, New York, but I came to the U of I because it had one of the best choral programs in the country.
And you're at this point working on your dissertation, and
yes.
That's a big project. What type of things are you doing in addition to conducting Joyful Noise?
I'm working on my dissertation on Aaron Copland's In the Beginning. It's the one major choral work that he wrote, and working with the sketches and the history of that piece. And then other types of things. I conduct Shabbat singers in Champaign and sing with the Baroque artists of Champaign-Urbana. And
you just had a concert the other night?
Yes.
How did that go?
From all accounts, it went very well. It was the most enjoyable concert.
So you're singing with a couple groups. You're conducting this group in New Jersey, and you've just had a baby.
Yes.
How old is Katie now?
Katie's 8 months old.
When you started this project with Joyful Noise, did you have any idea what the group might be capable of? What did you start with? What did you first start them singing?
My initial thought was that if eight people responded to this inquiry of, do you love to sing, that this would be something that was worth continuing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 15 people came to the first rehearsal, and I decided that I had chosen the perfect name for the group because there was more exuberance in the room than I had ever seen from a group of 15 adults.
Wonderful.
And some cacophony, lots of excitement, lots of attempts to learn how to use their voices. And we really had no idea where it would go from there. We started with some simple pieces, discovered some things about what worked well for that group of singers. And one of our first pieces, one of my sister's favorites, is This Land Is Your Land.
Hmm.
And discovered that pieces with short lines of text work particularly well. 5 syllables per line,
mm-hmm.
some such thing. So we started with mostly familiar music, folk songs, some popular songs, some songs from musicals.
We're talking today on Keeping the Faith with Alison Fromm, who is the founder and the director of Joyful Noise, a chorus for people with developmental disabilities in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, that draws from the whole South Jersey area and maybe and even farther. Are the people who come from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
It's primarily South Jersey because of transportation.
Sure.
It's a challenge for them.
And listeners are encouraged to give us a call, ask questions about this project if you like. The number here for people locally in Champaign-Urbana is 333-9455. If it's a long-distance call, perhaps people are listening on the Internet, you may dial us 1-800-222-9455. I say dial, but of course I mean punch in those numbers, 1-800-222-9455, if it's a long-distance call. Alison, you've brought a couple of examples of music. Now, tell us a little bit about the recording history of Joyful Noise. You've mainly done video recordings.
That's
so
right.
People can see their friends and family members singing.
That's right. We've done video recordings because it really is helpful to watch the members and engage with their joy of singing. So the recordings that I have are thanks to John Shainoff at Krannert for taking some audio off of some videotapes.
And tell us about some of the songs we're going to be hearing over this hour.
Well, the first one is a piece called Zol Zayin Sholem, which is Yiddish for Let There Be Peace. It was arranged by Josh Jacobson, and it's one that our singers particularly love because they love to have solos. So we have soloists in Todd Emmons and George Lalka and Jonathan Allen and Leslie Weeks, who we hope will be proud to hear themselves on the radio. What's wonderful about this song is that it has a refrain and that the primary text is yappa-pappa-yappa-pappa-yum-pum-pum.
Oh, that's fun.
So everybody can sing along, and the audience can sing along when we bring it into a nursing home as we did last week.
Now, how often do you rehearse?
They rehearse once a week, and we have a wonderful associate conductor, Kathy Sonnenberg, who rehearses with them when I'm not able to be there. I try to go once a month.
And do you get paid for doing this? Are you a volunteer? Is it a combination?
No, I do this as a volunteer. I do this with and for my sister. And
what about travel expenses?
I go and visit my sister.
I see.
And so with the money that we raise goes to pay our associate and assistant conductors for some musical expenses and then to pay for commissions to create new music.
Well, let's listen to this group and tell us about this first piece we're going to. You said this is Let There Be Peace.
Mm-hmm, Zol Zayin Sholem. And some of the words are in Yiddish and some are in English. And the last verse the members wrote themselves.
Oh, all right. Well, let's listen to this. Joyful Noise, directed by Allison Fromm. Well, we just heard Let There Be Peace in Yiddish and some English, sung by Joyful Noise, a chorus for people with developmental disabilities located in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, near Philadelphia, and directed by University of Illinois graduate student in music, Allison Fromm. I might explain to readers, listeners, that we are having difficulty technically, whether it's the snowstorm or what, I don't know, but we have trouble with our phone system. So if you've tried to call in with a comment or question, we're sorry that you probably got a busy signal or we don't know what, because we can't tell from your end, but we know nothing is that's not working here, and we've been unable, so far at least, to connect with Alice Parker, internationally known composer and conductor who has written a song specifically for this choir. Maybe more than one, Allison?
She's written two.
Two, all right.
Two pieces for them.
And we do have a couple recordings of Alice Parker, and we're going to postpone those a little bit here in the program and not play those, and hoping we can get her on perhaps the last later in this live program. This is one of the wonders of live radio, and you can relax. We have a guest here in the studio that we can talk with, the director and founder of this program. And often we just have one guest. Today we were just going to be in luxury having two, but we're happy just to have Allison Fromm with us. Allison, tell us how you get major composers to write for your choir.
Well, this was an idea that I had in 2002 when we received an award from, of all groups, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Football team.
Football team, yes, national football team. Unbeknown to me, I was nominated for a community quarterback award. And we went to the award ceremony, and I was first runner-up. We sat in the Philadelphia Eagles auditorium where the players watch their game films after having played.
And probably very comfortable chairs.
Only it was so big I could hardly get out of it. So we were there for this award ceremony, and the Philadelphia Eagles granted Joyful Noise a $3,500 award. And on the plane, on the way back to Illinois, I started thinking about what might we like to do with this award from the Eagles, which was a considerable amount of money, but not a lot of money if you chose to buy equipment or
sure.
just use it. So I wrote to seven composers, seven people that I knew could write lyrical, beautiful melody, something simple that our group might be able to sing. And I said, might you be willing to match the Philadelphia Eagles donation with a donation of some of your time and write a piece for a very modest honorarium? And they all agreed. And so we have gotten started on those pieces, and we haven't gotten pieces from all of our seven composers, but we have gotten some of them and some other composers. And people seem really interested in writing for this group just because of their joy of singing.
Tell us what some of the words were we heard in Yiddish.
Well, in Yiddish, the only words were Zol Zayin Sholem, let there be peace. And then the English verses, let us live in peace, let us live in friendship. And then the group sometimes writes their own words to various pieces. And so they wrote, Joyful Noise is friendship, Joyful Noise is a choir of friendship.
Hmm. And who came up with those words?
The members themselves. And sometimes we've done things like taking the song My Favorite Things from The Sound of Music. And
these
written,
are a few of my favorite
right,
things, yes.
Written our own favorite things, and we sometimes sing about those.
Who are some of the other composers that have written for Joyful Noise?
Stephen Sametz is one of our composers who wrote a piece for this conference also, a piece called Bonsai Abba, which is All Who Sing Are Children of God. And it is a piece with marimba and lots of fun percussion. And our first piece was by Elliot Levine. And what I asked Elliot to do was to take the first verse of Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. I knew that Elliot had set music in several languages at once in some of his other pieces. And so I asked him to take five languages, English, Italian, Korean, Swedish, and Hebrew, which represented the backgrounds of the members of the group.
Uh-huh.
And it's a layered piece in which they can sing languages they're familiar with, or at least one or more of the members are familiar with. Nick Page wrote us a piece spontaneously last February of 2008, I guess, when we performed at the Conference of American Choral Directors Association in Hartford. He heard our session, and an hour later from the hotel lobby, he emailed me a little piece, I'm Your Joyful Friend, and which uses the Beethoven Ode to Joy as one of its melodies. And then Edie Hill also wrote us a piece this summer, a Minneapolis composer. We sing with heartfelt joy, a beautiful lyrical piece. And Rob Cannon, our director of our Delaware group, wrote us a piece for the summer also called Do You Understand? All about how to express your feelings. And
Now, what is your Delaware group?
We have a small Delaware contingent because Bancroft NeuroHealth has a satellite in Wilmington. And so Rob Cannon has a group of seven or eight, I think, singers who have rehearsed on their own and sometimes come up and sung with the New Jersey group. They came with us to Philadelphia this summer.
Are you aware of other groups of people with developmental disabilities who have choirs?
There are a few across the nation. Some of them are with Very Special Arts, which is similar to Special Olympics. It's an arts, national arts organization. And in our group, we have people with developmental disabilities. We also have some people with acquired brain injuries who are similarly, music touches something in them. We have one particular member who was in a very bad car accident, and he is aphasic, which means that he can't remember the words that he wants to express, but he remembers all the words to all of our songs.
Interesting. I've noticed in visiting Alzheimer patients in nursing homes and assisted living places as a pastor that often when people have lost completely, apparently, the ability to speak, they can sometimes still sing, and they often have no expression on their face when I will speak to them, but if I say, do you remember this hymn or do you remember this song, they'll smile, they'll tap their feet. It seems to reach people.
Mm-hmm. We have a member who was injured a year or so ago and was in the hospital, and his sister was really quite discouraged because she wasn't getting much response from him, and they weren't sure quite how significant his injuries were. But I was in New Jersey, and I was going with Kathy and Mark, our two other conductors, and visiting George almost daily. And every time we went, we would say, is it okay if we sing a song for you? And he would nod, and we would start to sing, and then he would sing. And initially he sang an octave lower, and gradually he got stronger. And so we were really quite encouraged in visiting him. So when I spoke with his sister over the phone, I said, well, have you tried singing together? See what happens. And so when the two sisters went and visited this man, they got a completely different response, you know, much more energy, much more animation, much more of the person inside once they started singing.
I have a friend about my age who has a middle-aged son who loves to sing. He has developmental disabilities, and he has a gorgeous voice. Mm-hmm. Have you found that in some of your choir members?
Well, some of our singers have really lovely voices, and I would hesitate. I probably shouldn't single any one person out, but we have a couple who are really excellent singers. Mm-hmm. And I've known some in other places who, if they were singing in your community choir, would be singing solos in that community choir as well.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges, though, for you as a conductor, as a director of this chorus? Here you are being trained at one of the finest schools in choral conducting in the world. You're taught how to get the absolute best sound and diction and all of that out of your choirs. Are there frustrations for you?
Sometimes we wish that we could move ahead a little bit faster. But what I came to realize is that the techniques are the same. We still work toward intonation and beautiful tone and ensemble and good rhythm and some sense of a shape of phrase. And sometimes I just need to be more creative in how I try and teach those skills. It moves a little bit more slowly. But the sense of accomplishment is tremendous. And I've often said that working with Joyful Noise teaches me to be a better musician in other settings, because what they are able to do that so many of us who are studying in the finest programs in the world are challenged to do is that they're just very expressive. They're very authentic. I like to say that they haven't been socialized into developing the kind of reserve that many of us develop by the time we reach adulthood. Mm-hmm. So the sense of the music is often there. And they are very interested in the meaning of the music. Some of the other challenges are simply that they don't read music. You have to find other ways to teach them.
Okay. Alison Fromm is our guest on Keeping the Faith this week. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for the program. I apologize to listeners who might have tried to call. We are having technical difficulties today on this live show, and so our phone lines, so far at least, haven't been working. If we get them working, I'll let you know, and you may make a call. And I know we have listeners on the Internet who might like to call, too. You might jot down this number in case we get things working. 1-800-222-9455 is our long-distance toll-free line. If it's in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. But I repeat, those lines are not working right now. But you might jot those numbers down in case we solve this problem. And our guest, anticipated guest, Alice Parker, is unable to be on our guest line so far also. We do have a couple things that she wrote for Joyful Noise, this choir that Allison founded and directs, that includes her sister. And if we don't get Alice soon, we may play those anyway, because I know there are some people who've been looking forward to hearing what Alice Parker wrote for Joyful Noise. Let me ask you, Allison, when you go to a rehearsal, what is typical? Do you start with warm-ups, like vocal warm-ups, like choirs that I've sung with usually do?
Of course. We start with stretching, and we start
physically with stretching your body.
Physically stretching. And some yoga stretches, trying to give people the sense that the body is their instrument, just as you would with any choir. We do warm-ups. We often do something we call roll call, where I would say, "Steve, how are you?" And you might simply say, "Allison, I'm fine." Or you might give me a long story about what was going on in your life that week.
But singing it.
Singing. Singing.
As a way to warm up and as a way to acknowledge who's there.
As a way to be part of the group and to warm up. And then we do a traditional set of vocal warm-ups and launch into music as any choir would.
And the vocal conversation you sometimes have with warm-ups, that also helps the choir learn the names of other members in the choir.
And it helps them to support each other and to learn what's going on in other people's lives. One of the most dramatic experiences that I can remember was a rehearsal in which a member who had never spoken to anybody and had never really responded to the warm-up, although we had always addressed her, finally looked up and said, "I'm fine."
Hmm.
And the whole room just erupted in cheers, because they knew that for this particular member to communicate that much was huge.
Sure. Tell us about performing with the group. What particular happy memories do you have of performances?
Oh, there are lots.
I know over 10 years, that's a lot, but what stands out in your mind?
For a lot of our members, one of our early performances, Jessica's graduation, you know, an early graduation performance, singing it at what they call Rob's Church. Rob is now our Delaware director, but he used to be music director at First Baptist Church in Haddonfield, New Jersey. And so we gave a performance with members of Harmonium, a choral society that's about 2 hours north of us, came down in 2002. And then in 2003, we gave a performance with the members of Western Wind, which is a sextet that many people would know about. Alice Parker came for the first time in 2004 and rehearsed with us and gave a concert with us. And all three of these were at Rob's Church. And every year we've done anywhere between 4 and 10 performances.
Now, it must have been a special thrill for you to perform for Chorus America and at the Conference for the American Choral Directors Society. Your peers, professionals from all over the country and world, what was the response you got from them at that conference? Did very many come to hear Joyful Noise?
Well, the American Choral Directors Conference in particular was surprising for us because we were on the last morning of the conference. The advertisement had us in the wrong building, and but we had over 100 people in the room.
Wow.
And they gave Joyful Noise a standing ovation, and we could tell how deeply moved they were by Joyful Noise. I think that part of what is exciting for choral professionals is just to sense the commitment that our singers have and the dedication and the fearlessness that they have. So out of that American Choral Directors Association conference, we got some invitations. And out of the Chorus America conference this June in Philadelphia, we have an invitation to perform with Singing City in Philadelphia, which is a very established chorus in Philadelphia. One of their conductor heard us and invited us to perform in their family concert in March.
This program will be archived. It is a live program here today on December 27th. And so listeners who might have missed part of this program may hear it by going to the WILL.illinois.edu website, then go to AM, and you can search for Joyful Noise or Allison Fromm or this date, or you can click on Keeping the Faith, and you'll see all of our programs that are there waiting for you to listen to at your convenience on your computer. Again, that website is will.illinois.edu, and then go to AM. We know we do have listeners on the Internet, and we're sorry we can't take your phone calls today, but we do thank you for listening, as well as our live broadcast, of course. Allison Fromm is our guest. She is a doctor in the musical arts graduate student here at the University of Illinois in choral conducting and literature, and she's working on a dissertation. She was telling us earlier on Aaron Copland. Before that, she's a graduate of Yale University and Boston University before coming here for her doctoral studies. In addition to her doctoral studies, she sings in a local chorus or two and directs Joyful Noise, a chorus for people with developmental disabilities in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Let's see if we can hear another part of a CD. Tell us what we're going to hear next. This is Alice Parker actually teaching your choir a song that she wrote for them. Is that right? This is a traditional one.
It's a traditional song.
Ah, okay.
One of the things that I wanted to demonstrate to the American Choral Directors Association was that these folks do have musical ears and can learn pieces on the spot. So we carefully chose a piece that none of them had ever heard before. And
you didn't cheat.
Nope, didn't cheat. And Alice was lining out, showing her technique of song leading, and lining out the song for them, and they learned a very simple song called Sandyland.
Now tell us what lining out is.
She sang the first line, and then they repeated that first line, and then she sang the second line, and they repeated exactly what she sang, or as close as they could come.
All right. Well, let's listen to this, and how long will this be, roughly?
2 minutes.
A couple minutes. All right. Here we go. Well, Keep on Digging in Sandy Land, Alice Parker teaching members of the Joyful Noise Chorus. What were they on a stage when this was happening?
We were in the ballroom in a hotel,
okay.
A typical conference setting. And this is sound off of a video camera, which John Shainoff transferred for me. But they just love Alice Parker so much, and so they wanted to do their best for her.
So they were hearing this and responding, and then you were telling me that later they invited the listeners to join in too.
Mm-hmm.
Alice did,
and our singers will always invite the listeners to join in. We have one singer in particular named James who was always encouraging the conductors, you know, waving them into singing, whether they knew the song or not.
So why does Alice Parker like to teach people to sing by lining things out like that?
Well, I hesitate to speak for Alice.
But since she's not here and can't defend herself.
I know that Alice feels that the way that children learn and that all people learn is first by listening. And I've often heard her speak about wanting to get the sense out of the music and out of the text. And while not ignoring the composer's page, taking so much more off the page than is in the printed score.
Hmm.
And she spoke in this conference to Joyful Noise and to the conductors about the fact that they learn many things that one might not expect them to learn, because just as most people, as children or as adults, would listen to something that is sung to them out of a loving mouth, and then just imitate it. And that's the best way for people to learn.
This will sound very odd, Allison, but I was thinking of a philosopher named Polanyi who, one of his key concepts is that we know more than we can express. We know more than we can say. And I was thinking of that in terms of the way Alice Parker teaches people to sing. When she sings a line and she interprets it, those who are listening carefully are learning more than they realize. They're hearing more than they realize, than they could put words around. And when they imitate that, as you say, it's something that's very childlike, and yet perhaps even illustrating an important philosophic principle.
And we would often say, you know, that wisdom comes from the mouths of children, that there is something profound about that understanding if people are truly listening to what they hear and not overthinking it. You make me think, when you're talking about philosophy, that one of the things I've often noticed about the members of Joyful Noise is that they can express so much more musically than in some cases they are able to express using words.
Any other way.
Which is why so many of them are drawn to it and have been singing for all 10 years, because it gives them an opportunity to express what is inexpressible.
Well, we just heard Alice Parker teaching Joyful Noise, the chorus of folks with developmental disabilities, a fun song. But let's hear one that is All the Stars, one that she composed for
Yes.
Joyful Noise? Okay. Let's tell us about it. What will we be hearing?
Well, this was our very first performance of All the Stars in the Sky, which is a lullaby that she wrote for us for this convention in June. And we're hoping that it will be published by Earth Songs. They are singing harmony, and it has an echo part. So she taught the audience of conductors the echo part before we started. And again, this is sound off of a video camera.
So this is not professionally recorded, but this is...
it's a lovely piece of music.
From a live performance.
From a live performance.
Well, let's listen to this now. All the Stars in the Sky, written by Alice Parker and sung by Joyful Noise, conducted by Allison Fromm.
Thank you.
sung by Joyful Noise, All the Stars in the Sky, a lullaby by Alice Parker from a live performance. Allison Fromm here in the studio was cringing a bit at the sound quality because of the recording, not because of the singers, but because of the way it was recorded off a video camera in the back of the room. But it gives us a wonderful idea of that very, very touching piece.
It's a beautiful piece.
Now, this piece is available for other choirs to sing.
We are hoping that it will be because Ron Jeffers, I'm hoping, may be able to publish it with Earth Songs Music.
What is Earth Songs?
It's a publishing company in Oregon that publishes a lot of very interesting series of choral music. And there's a small Joyful Noise choral series. But this is a beautiful piece that Alice wrote for us. She told the story that when her children were still awake at 2 in the morning, she would say to them, all the stars are sleeping, all the waves are sleeping, the cornfields are sleeping, you know, everybody's sleeping. It's time for you to sleep too. So this is what the song was about. And we knew that Joyful Noise would enjoy singing a lullaby to Katie. And so that's why she wrote it.
And your daughter, Katie, was how old at the time?
She was there. She was 8 weeks old.
8 weeks.
And there's a line that's not too audible that says, all the babies in this room are sleeping.
Ah, and was Katie asleep or was she singing along?
She likes to sing along. I think she was awake at that point.
And are you the type of mom who believes in singing when the child is still in utero?
Well, I did lots of singing, and it was very apparent to me what kinds of concert sounds Katie liked most. And
from her movements?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah.
What got her most excited?
Well, she loved timpani, I think, to the vibrations in part, and she's particularly fond of cello. But when I was playing some of this music for her this afternoon, she was responding. It was clear that she recognized Joyful Noise. She's been to some of their rehearsals.
So when Joyful Noise first got started, had you any idea it would last 10 years?
We really were hoping that it would last, but I didn't have a sense of where this would go. And it's very exciting that it has lasted 10 years and that we've had an opportunity to work with so many wonderful musicians.
You have one more recording that you've brought for us. It's very short. Tell us about what it is.
Well, this is the We Love to Sing song. This is one of our first commissions. It was composed by John Washburn from Vancouver, Canada. And we love to sing this song that says we love to sing this song. And it's actually a longer song, but we thought we would just play the opening. It's sort of a signature song that our singers really enjoy, and we close a lot of our concerts with it.
So we are going to hear We Love to Sing, sung by a chorus of people with developmental disabilities from ages, you said, 16 to 70 or something?
Something like that.
From Cherry Hill, New Jersey, about 30 voices, conducted by Allison Fromm.
Thank you.
Well, we heard the beginning of We Love to Sing. It's quite infectious.
Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, there are words about being locked into your mind, and it's a song that does stay with you, which is wonderful.
How do the members of the choir respond to humor?
Well, they enjoy the humor in this song in particular. We didn't go on and play the inclusion of Frère Jacques and O Tannenbaum and Old MacDonald, and it's a little joke. It's a little mockery between the women of the choir and the men of the choir, and they love jokes.
Are there ever disagreements among choir members? I know when you're working with a group of people, they have different opinions, they have different styles, they have different schedules, they have different ways of responding to a conductor. What kind of difficulties have you had with this particular choir?
Well, I think as in most choirs, everyone wants to sing a solo.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we have a little bit of sparring over whose solo something might be, and we try to spread those around a little bit so that lots of singers have an opportunity to sing solos. But for the most part, the group gets along really wonderfully, and they're very supportive of each other. And they always cheer when somebody else does well. And we really have very few conflicts of any kind.
You've brought another song. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Bense Abba? What is this?
Bense Abba. This is Stephen Sammet's piece that he wrote for us for the Chorus America conference this summer. And it is a Zambian text, which is All Who Sing Are Children of God. And we sang in the Zambian language and then in English as well. It has a marimba part, and then it also has lots of ad libitum percussion. So in this performance, we had all of our composers, Edie Hill and Elliot Levine and Alice Parker and Stephen, the composer of this piece, they were all playing percussion instruments. And the members really enjoy this. This is one of my sister's favorite pieces.
Well, that's quite a percussion ensemble you had there. Well, let's listen to this song by, again,
Stephen Sammet's.
Sammet's. Here we go. Who Sing Are Children of God, performed and sung by Joyful Noise, a chorus of people with developmental disabilities, directed by Allison Fromm, a graduate student here at the University of Illinois. This choir hails from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, with members from around South Jersey. And Allison has been flying back and forth for some years now from the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana to Philadelphia and then New Jersey to conduct this choir. Her sister's a member. You were telling us earlier, Allison, that the name Joyful Noise for the group came from Psalm 100, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands." How did you happen to choose the name, or did you choose it?
I did. And, of course, it's not the most original idea, but I felt like it was the right name when we got in the first rehearsal, that there was a lot of joy in singing, more than I could ever have anticipated.
And there's nothing wrong with borrowing from an almost 3,000-year history.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the end of our time. We've been interviewing Allison Fromm, the founder and the director of this chorus. We're sorry that Alice Parker, who'd agreed to be on the show, could not because of technical difficulties. We suspect the weather here in the Midwest has been bad in the East Coast, too. But that's one problem with live radio. Sometimes things don't go according to plan. Alice is the internationally known conductor and composer and has worked with Joyful Noise and has been very generous with her time composing things for the group as well as meeting with them and teaching them things live on stage in front of other choral directors. So we're sorry that didn't work out, but you at least got to hear some of her music, and you heard her voice teaching this group, Joyful Noise, one of her songs. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs, and we do want to thank listeners. If you missed part of this program and would like to hear it in its entirety, you may go to will.illinois.edu, then go to AM and search for Keeping the Faith, or type in the search engine there, Joyful Noise, or Allison Fromm, our guest today. Allison, best of luck when you're finishing up your doctoral work here at the university, and as you continue with this endeavor with Joyful Noise and with many other choirs, I'm sure. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, a production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.